It's nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT. It is your public radio station broadcasting on 100.1 FM here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is a bit gray and rainy, 45 degrees at the airport. They are showing northwest winds to 15, gusting to 26, and they still have 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for mostly cloudy skies today, with a high near 51 and northwest winds to 15. Partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 43, but they are calling for sunny skies tomorrow, high near 52, west winds to 5, becoming completely calm tomorrow morning. And partly sunny skies starting Saturday and going through Tuesday. Coming up on the Midday Report, Karlik will get its school. A new robot is in Nome that prints concrete. And the Matsu School District Library Review Book Committee would like to ban 4 books, please. Those stories and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Another high-stakes meeting is underway at the White House.
How important is this visit, Mr. President? How important is this visit?
President Biden is hosting the President of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky. NPR's Windsor Johnson reports the Ukrainian leader is attempting to secure billions more in U.S. assistance for Ukraine's counteroffensive against Russia.
National Security Council advisor Jake Sullivan says President Biden will announce a fresh round of assistance for Ukraine that includes significant air defense capabilities.
These capabilities will help Ukraine harden its defenses ahead of what is likely to be a tough winter, filled with renewed Russian attacks on Ukrainian critical infrastructure to try to deprive innocent people of necessities like heat and electricity.
During private talks with lawmakers on Capitol Hill, Zelensky said that without additional aid, his country will lose the war. Zelensky's trip to Washington came just hours after Russia launched massive airstrikes against Ukraine. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Cleanup and recovery is underway in Ukraine following another deadly Russian attack. Overnight, Russia struck the capital, Kyiv, and other cities. At least 5 lives were lost and dozens more people in Ukraine were injured. Media mogul Rupert Murdoch announced today that he plans to step down from his roles leading his publishing and television empires after a career spanning 7 decades. NPR's David Folkenflik reports Murdoch leaves a legacy of extraordinary business success, political influence, and scandal.
Murdoch made his money on tabloid newspapers and kept expanding, buying prestige papers like the Times of London and the Wall Street Journal. He built a 4th television network and founded Fox News. Murdoch is now 92. He's had health scares in recent years, and he's departing after yet another season of crisis. Earlier this year, Murdoch testified he allowed Fox stars to embrace then-President Donald Trump's baseless claims of election fraud in 2020 in order to curry favor with viewers. That surfaced in a defamation case from an election tech company. Fox Corp paid more than $750 million to settle it. Murdoch says he'll continue to be engaged in news and the contest of ideas. David Folkenflik, NPR News.
Hollywood studios and screenwriters resume negotiations for a second day, adding to hope that after nearly 5 months, the writer's strike could soon be over. Top entertainment executives were at last night's discussions. Since May, the Writers Guild of America has been on strike for higher pay and residuals, as well as stronger job protections against the industry's increasing reliance on artificial intelligence. Members of SAG-AFTRA are also fighting for similar protections, and they went on strike in July. From Washington, this is NPR News.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Karluk, a village of just a couple of dozen year-round residents on the southern end of Kodiak Island, will have a school for the first time in 5 years. The community went viral this summer for an ad seeking families to move there to help them meet the minimum number of students for state funding. The local school board voted to reopen the school on Monday night. And as KMXT's Brian Venois reports, the district is scrambling to prepare the school to open by the October deadline.
Tony Wilkinson took 4 flights with her 5 children to get to Karluk from Lexington, Kentucky.
When we landed in Karluk, there were several people on the airstrip to kind of greet us and show us around and load up all of our luggage and bring us and show us our house. And one of the ladies had cooked breakfast for us, so it was very welcoming.
The family arrived early September and have been adjusting to life on an island and exploring the beaches. Wilkinson's spouse, as well as their 2 adult children, stayed in Kentucky.
And they put a lot of thought into, getting things for us and making us feel comfortable. And everybody's just been so welcoming and kind.
The Karluk Tribal Council sifted through thousands of inquiries to find the right families to move to the island. Village schools need 10 students to qualify for state funding, but the community only had 2 kids. So the council offered a year of free living expenses for 2 families. Catherine Reft is the Karluk Tribal Council's secretary and treasurer. She says another family with 3 more children are on their way.
Well, we're just all so grateful that we were able to pull this off. And we're looking pretty iffy there for a minute, but we can actually now breathe.
Reft says they hope to find families with more rural Alaska experience, but with only 2 available houses right now, they had to prioritize families with enough kids.
It was kind of like, oh, this one don't have enough kids. We were really concerned about like a single parent coming in also, but, it came down to the amount of kids and how we can work it out.
But getting enough kids to the village was just the first step. The Kodiak Island Borough School District hasn't had a school in the community for 5 years. The district's Board of Education voted to accept the challenge and open the school with just a few days' notice. Now staff have a limited time to sort all of their paperwork. Cindy Mecca is the district's superintendent.
I've got to reach out to the borough and see what we need to do to take back over that building as a school site. I have to file a paperwork with the Commissioner of Education at the Department of Education to request for us to open that school because they're the ones that ultimately will give us permission.
That's just the tip of the iceberg. Mecca also needs to certify all of the schools by the end of September, and even with state funding, the district will need to make up another $50,000 to operate the Karluk school in an already tight budget. During their meeting, the school board said their biggest obstacle, though, is finding and housing a teacher for the Karluk school. The district had a hard time finding staff for rural schools last year. Mecca says the tribal council renovated 2 houses for the incoming families, but there isn't a 3rd home that's ready for a teacher.
Not only are we scrambling to find a teacher, we're scrambling to stand up one of those classrooms in the building as the teacher dwelling. And so that's a hard sell.
That means a teacher would have a private bedroom and living room, but would have to share the kitchen, bathroom, and laundry rooms that the students use during the day. Mecca says communities around Kodiak have housed teachers in school buildings in the past, but she's concerned that it'll affect the teacher's work-life balance. For now, the district is planning to send rotating staff to teach in the community for a few weeks at a time. Despite all of the work, though, Mecca says it's worth it.
Ultimately, we do have 10 students in Karluk, and we do need to educate them, and it's the right thing to do to open the school. It would have been nice if we had had a year to plan for the opening instead of rushing it, but now the real work happens.
Tony Wilkinson, the mother of 5 who recently moved to Karluk, says the family has loved getting to know the community, seeing bears, and exploring the island.
I mean, it's just beautiful. And it's, I mean, Kentucky's beautiful too, but just in a different way. So, yeah, we're enjoying that, and we're enjoying looking forward to hopefully the school getting up and going.
The other family headed to the village is coming from California and will arrive later this month. In Kodiak, I'm Brian Venois.
The city of Nome and its partners are planning to build a demonstration home next summer using a robot that prints concrete. They hope the project will prove that the technology can slash the time and cost to build quality housing, especially in Alaska's most remote communities. Alaska Public Media's Jeremy Shea reports.
Researchers and entrepreneurs working at Penn State University have built a prototype of a 3D concrete printing system. Next summer, they'll send a version of it from Pennsylvania to Nome, 3,600 miles away. They'll use it to print the unfinished portions of an entire house in the remote Alaska city, where it's expensive to build and where there's an increasing need for more housing.
We are interested in printing everything, the foundation, the walls, and the roofs, by finding and developing the technology to print domes and vaults.
That's Penn State architecture and engineering professor Jose Duarte. He works in the university's additive construction lab and its spin-off business, XHAB3D. Theoretically, 3D concrete printing systems have huge competitive advantages under rural Alaska's constraints and logistics challenges. Here's why. Penn State's system has three main pieces that all fit inside a 20-foot shipping container: a concrete mixer, a pump, and a beefy, bright orange robotic arm with a 12-foot reach. The robot arm is mounted on a mobile platform. Sven Belen is a Penn State engineering professor on the team.
Our current system that we've designed at XHAB3D is a mobile expeditionary 3D concrete printer. It's on tank tracks. It's able to roll out of the shipping container and then move around the site on those tank tracks.
Once in place, the robot arm holds an extruder vertically, like a big pen, putting down a smooth, ropey stream of concrete in precise patterns. As the ropes stack up in layers, a three-dimensional form takes shape. The Penn State team isn't ready to share specifics about the project in Nome yet, but their past research was part of a 2021 feasibility study on 3D-printed homes in rural Alaska. The study found a ton of benefits over traditional home building. Traditional builders would need 1 to 3 months to do what the 3D printing system could do in as little as 1 to 3 days. A lot of the sand and gravel used in the different concrete mixtures can be locally sourced. The study says the homes should stand up to snow loads, frost heaves, extreme winds, and earthquakes, and last longer with less maintenance than a regular home. And the cost savings are potentially huge. The researchers estimated that the shell of a concrete home could cost about 1/4 what a traditional one would. A lot of eyes are on this project. The Alaska Housing Finance Corporation and Denali Commission paid for the feasibility study. Here's AHFC CEO Brian Butcher.
There's really some Alaska-specific challenges to it, but it's really exciting to look and to see if it's something we might be able to solve, because if we can build high energy efficiency homes in rural Alaska at an affordable price, it's really going to be a game changer.
The Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development recently awarded Nome and its partners a $600,000 grant for the demonstration build. Nome is contributing land. City Manager Glenn Steckman is excited about the project's potential. He says in Nome, rent is high, many homes need fixing up, and some are simply beyond repair.
So we just need to get more housing up here, and quality housing and safe housing. And that's been a priority for the 4 years that I've been city manager in Nome.
Steckman hopes the concrete demonstration home will be the first of many. In Anchorage, I'm Jeremy Shea.
The Mat-Su School District's Library Book Review Committee recommends removing all four of the books they read last month from varying levels of schools. The 11-member committee voted to recommend the removal of It's Perfectly Normal and The Bluest Eye from all Mat-Su schools at their meeting last week. They also voted to remove The Lovely Bones from middle schools and the graphic novel Drama from elementary schools. Nicole Smith was one of 9 members who voted with the majority on It's Perfectly Normal.
I feel like the pictures weren't scientific as much as they were exhibitionary. And to me, across the line, there is science in there, but I also feel like it carried over into pushing different ideals and that aren't necessarily appropriate.
The book was in circulation in Mat-Su school libraries for 7 years and was only checked out twice by students. Melinda Dale was one of 2 members who voted to keep the book for middle and high school students.
I taught human growth and development to 6th graders, 8th graders. This book probably answered just about every question that any of them would have had. And I think there's a distinction between indecent material and information.
The committee's recommendations will go to the school board, who will have the final say over what books are removed from schools. The committee is working through a list of 56 books that were challenged by community members, which includes 5 of the 13 most challenged books in the country, according to the American Library Association. An event billed as the only indigenous music festival in the country begins today in Juneau. Ok Rock kicks off this evening. It's the first time the festival has been held in person. Indigenous performers from across Alaska, the U.S., and the world will play over the course of 3 days. Organizers visited KTOO Afternoon on Tuesday to talk about the lineup and the buzz the festival is creating in the music world. Kachung Blanchett says the team has received communications from people who want to create similar festivals around the world.
Because they're looking at us, what we're doing, because it's like, oh, wow, this festival's happening. And it's something that's unprecedented right now.
Blanchett is also a member of the Inuit soul band Bumyoa and has performed all over the world.
30 years of me being in this scene, in this music industry, there's been nothing like this ever.
The festival began virtually in 2021. Headliners this year include Snotty Nose Rez Kids, Halusa Nation, and local acts like Air Jazz and Daniel Furman. Performances take place at Centennial Hall and Elizabeth Peratrovich Hall. Tickets are still available. Just search on your computer for AAKW Rock. Two bears climbed into a Krispy Kreme delivery van and spent about 20 minutes eating donuts and ripping apart packages and generally being bears last Tuesday morning at Joint Base Elmendorf-Richardson in Anchorage. The driver had left the van's doors open while making a delivery to a gas station convenience store. Store manager Shelley Dino says he won't be leaving those doors open anymore. As Dino told Alaska Public Media's Casey Grove, there's a lesson to be learned for the driver and store employees who are used to seeing bears in the area.
Normally we don't really think anything of it until that day when we saw the mama bear walk by the van. And it was in the morning, it was dark. And I tried to bend down to see where she was because we have gas pumps out there and there were customers. And then all of a sudden I heard like movement in the van, and then I heard her breaking open the packages of donuts. And then the baby bear followed suit and they just started eating all the donuts. Not all of them, but about half of them. So we tried to get them out. We were banging on the van. No luck. They were probably in there for good, maybe 20 minutes. We then had to call security police. They sounded off their loud sirens. Took them a few minutes to get out of the van, and then they just kind of lingered in front of the store for a little bit. But it took them a little bit, security police, to get them to move on into the woods right by our building.
Do you guys see bears out there pretty often?
Oh, yeah, we do. We have to take the garbage out 3 times a day. We close at midnight, so we do the last garbage takeout closer to midnight. We try to go in pairs if we can. But, yeah, they usually frequent around here because we've got woods on all sides of us, and apparently they know where to come.
Yeah, I was wondering, I mean, when you saw the first bear, the mama bear, and then kind of realized it was in the van, were you worried or were you surprised or what?
I don't know if I was surprised. I was more worried about customers taking pictures from so close to the van, and so I had to go out there and say, you guys need to be careful, and then I proceeded to go out there and take pictures, but because she wasn't paying attention. She was just eating the donuts, so she didn't care. And so I wasn't really worried. It was amusing is what it was.
Yeah. Kind of hard to blame them, though, right? I mean,
yeah.
Yeah. So I called the, you know, base public affairs folks to ask them about this. The woman there kind of chuckled for a second, and then, but she didn't really think it was quite as funny as I think like the rest of us do.
Yeah.
Did they convey to you, or did the base convey to you that, you know, they don't want the Krispy Kreme truck doors left open or anything like that?
No, but I mean, Krispy Kreme has taken measures, and we've also told him the doors need to be closed, obviously. And now he's going to start delivering in the back of our store. He usually delivers out front because it's just easier for him. But he's going to go to the back from now on, and he has since started closing his doors because we never thought about it, honestly, before. You always think of bears and garbage and always make sure your garbage is taken out, make sure garbage is put inside your house or anything like that. But never did I think about closing the van doors. I didn't think about that, honestly.
Yeah. I guess there's a first time for everything, right?
Yeah.
It sounds like you've gotten a few phone calls from people like me that are interested in it. Who all have you heard from?
So NBC and CBS, of course, our local news, Alaska news source. It's aired on CNN. I got a phone call yesterday from someone in the UK. And then I got the Washington Post last night. It's in the Seattle Times. Someone from the Associated Press in Juneau, an Insider Edition, I want to say.
Inside Edition, yeah.
Yeah. So, and then of course you, and then our own, we have a thing called the Exchange Post just within our company. And so that was today also. So it's been, and it just keeps going viral.
Yeah. I guess I'm the last one to call then. Maybe I'm not doing a very good job here.
It's okay. You're the second phone call today. I was like, oh, well, I'm still getting phone calls.
maybe it'll quiet down for you soon.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Interest rate cuts? Not soon. I'm Nova Safa with a Marketplace Minute. Goldman Sachs is out with new analysis predicting the Fed will not cut interest rates until the last quarter of next year. The central bank left its benchmark rate unchanged yesterday and again indicated it's in no hurry to lower rates. Rupert Murdoch is stepping down as chairman of Fox and News Corp. His son Lachlan will head both companies. The elder Murdoch is 92 years old. He founded Fox News and the Fox Broadcast Network. The Conference Board's report of leading economic indicators continues to flash warning signs. The think tank's index is down nearly 4% over the last 6 months, suggesting a recession ahead. But no warning signs in the labor market. Initial claims for unemployment benefits fell to 200,000 last week. I'm Nova Safa with a Marketplace Minute.
Marketplace Minute is supported by Baird. More at BairdDifference.com.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Thursday. It is the 21st day of September, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 7:52. It will set again at 8:11. That will give us 12 hours and 19 minutes of glorious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 56 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high temperature for this date was 65 degrees. That was set in 1942. And our record low was 30 degrees, set in 1992. Currently 45 degrees. There's a light rain falling. It's a bit cloudy outside. At the airport, they are showing northwest wind steady at 15, gusting to 25, and 80% humidity. And they're looking around at 10 miles of visibility. Mostly cloudy for the rest of the afternoon, going to partly cloudy tonight. High near 51 today with northwest winds to 15 for today and tonight. Low around 43 overnight tonight. For tomorrow, completely sunny skies, according to the Weather Service, with a high near 52 and west winds to 5, becoming completely calm in the morning. Mostly cloudy overnight for Friday night with a low around 42, calm winds to the southwest to 5. Partly sunny skies for Saturday through Tuesday. Let's check in with the brand new one from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 45, date issued 10 a.m. on September 21st. There will be a 54-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Sunday, September 24th, until 6 p.m. Tuesday, September 26th in the Inner Carlock section of the Southwest Kodiak District. Closed waters will be reduced from noon Sunday, September 24th until 6 p.m. Tuesday, September 26th in the following area: at Carlock Lagoons, exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline, stream number 255-101. As previously announced, the inner Karluk section of the Southwest Kodiak District will close to commercial salmon fishing at 6 p.m. Thursday, September 21st. Closed waters are reduced until 6 p.m. Thursday, September 21st at Karluk Lagoons, exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline, stream number 255-101. The following areas are open to commercial salmon fishing until further notice. The outer Iakulik, outer Karluk, Sturgeon, and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the central and North Cape sections of the Northwest Kodiak District, the Northeast Kodiak District, the East Side Kodiak District, the Cape Alatak, Alatak Bay, Humpy Dead Man, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alatak District, the northwest of Fognak, Raspberry Strait, Duck Bay, Izua Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, southwest Fognak, and northeast of Fognak sections of the Fognak District, and the mainland district. Closed waters are expanded until further notice in that portion of the southwest of Fognak section of the Fognak District, within 1/2 nautical mile of the beach near the stream terminus of Molina Creek, stream number 252-105, at 58 degrees 10 north latitude and 58 degrees 11 north latitude. Until further notice, within the Kodiak area, only that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak districts south of the latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater length may not be retained by purse and gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak area salmon statistical chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fish and Game Office, and of course, most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour record phone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. And this is Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
And here is your weather forecast, mariners, for Marmot Island to Sitkanak out to 15 nautical miles. Small craft advisory today with northwest winds to 25 knots, going to 20 knots tonight, seas to 6 feet. For tomorrow, west 15 and seas to 4 feet. For Friday night, variable 10 and 3-foot seas. And Sunday through Monday, northwest 15, seas to 5 feet. Over in the Chillicothe Strait, northwest 20 for today and tonight. 5-foot seas are expected to come down to 3 feet tonight. And west 15 tomorrow with 3-foot seas. For Friday night, variable 10 and 2-foot seas. And Saturday and Sunday, variable 10 with 2-foot seas. For Monday, west 15 with 3-foot seas in the Chillicothe. For you inside water mariners, northwest 10 in Chiniac Bay today will increase to 15 knots this afternoon with seas to 2 feet. For tonight, northwest 15 diminishing to 10 knots after midnight and 2-foot seas. And for tomorrow in Chiniac Bay, variable less than 10, 1-foot sea building to 3 feet tomorrow afternoon. Up in Marmot Bay, northwest 10 today will increase to 15 knots this afternoon. 1-foot seas. Northwest 15 becoming west 10 tonight after midnight with 2-foot seas. And for tomorrow in Marmot Bay, variable less than 10, seas to 2 feet. Those conditions more or less through Monday.
Local elections are coming up on October 3rd. Do you need help deciding who to vote for? KMXT and the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce are sponsoring the 2023 Candidate Forum Monday, September 25th and Wednesday, September 27th at the Borough Assembly Chambers. At 6 p.m. on Monday the 25th will be the City Election Candidate Forums, beginning with the race for City of Kodiak Mayor, followed by the race for 2 seats on the City Council. On Wednesday the 27th are the Borough-wide Candidate Forums, beginning with the School Board candidates at 6 p.m., followed by the candidates for the Borough Assembly. The forums will take place at the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly Chambers, or you can listen here on KMXT 100.1 FM. Once again, that's 6 p.m. on Monday the 25th for City Mayor and City Council candidates, and Wednesday the 27th for Borough-wide candidates. And don't forget to vote. Election Day is October 3rd.
The Kodiak Island Borough Assembly will be meeting in a regular meeting tonight. That's happening in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30. On September 27th, the Solid Waste Advisory Board will be having their regular meeting in the Kodiak Fisheries Research Center Conference Room. That's happening at 5:15 p.m. And on Thursday, September 28th, the Borough Assembly will be having a work session in the Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public, and the packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office with any questions at 907-486-9310. today and Saturday are the days for new volunteer training for the hospice and palliative care of Kodiak. For more information and to register for the training, call them at 907-512-0600 or visit the website at www.hpck.org. This afternoon is the new chess club gathering at the library. That happens at 3 p.m. Drop in to learn, practice, or sharpen your skills in a cozy, friendly environment. No experience is necessary, and it's open to all ages. Chess Club, 3 p.m. today at the library. Tomorrow at 10:30 a.m., it's Lapsit story time for toddlers and their parents. And the library's Video Game Club will have its very first gathering on Friday at 3:30 p.m. for ages 13 and up. Also at the library, story time with a twist. Read the book Rosie Revere Engineer with Ms. Kate. Then work on a Lego building STEAM activity. That's happening Saturday, September 23rd at 11 a.m. for kids in kindergarten through 8th grade. Again, read a book, then do a Lego building STEAM activity. Saturday at 11 a.m. And don't forget, Kodiak Salmon Life Celebration is coming up this Sunday. That's happening at the Abercrombie State Park Pavilion between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. They have it all, potluck, live music, kid activities, and you're encouraged to bring your own everything. Again, that's next Sunday, 3 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Abercrombie State Pavilion, State Park Pavilion, Kodiak Salmon Life Celebration. Early voting is available right now in the Kodiak Borough Assembly Chambers. That's at 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. This goes on through October 2nd. If you have any questions, call the City Clerk's Office at 907-486-8636. Join Paul Fuga and the Kodiak Arts Council Saturday, September 30th at 6:30 p.m. for their community outreach event. In light of the Maui wildfire tragedy, Paul Fuga will discuss the Hawaiian value of malama, to care for, cherish, nurture, and protect, and how these values are intertwined, often focusing on how we live with each other and the land we're on. Paula will also demonstrate her music, followed by a Q&A. This event is free and will be held in the Gerald C. Wilson Auditorium's Choral Pod. It's open to all ages. For more information, go to the Kodiak Arts Council website at www.kodiakarts.org. But again, that's Saturday, September 30th at 6:30 p.m. in the Auditorium Choral Pod.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the midday report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.